My dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Are you ready? Some of you survived Black Friday, so you must be ready. Some of you have waited a long time for Pastor Mark to come back. And this morning you can go, phew, he made it. But are we really ready for whatever might come? Remember when we had fire drills in school? So we'd be ready. That stupid thing would go off, you know, and scare the whippy out of you when you were a little kid. And you thought the whole place was going to burn down, but the teacher very calmly and orderly lined you up and you walked out to a very designated spot. And you waited, and I had no idea early on what they were doing, but they were counting noses to make sure all noses were out. And then they paraded you back in. Remember? Remember doing it when you were in middle school and high school? Got boring, didn't it? Big deal. What's the deal? But my guess is, if the fire alarm went off for real, you'd know what to do. Why? Because you practiced. How about for some of us, we remember riding on an airplane. How many of you have ridden more than three times and you still listen to the directions given by the flight attendant? Or how many of you take the thing out and read very carefully? How many of you look down the aisle to see where the exit might be? Not so much. But isn't it interesting when there is some kind of airline, air disaster, how many people get out? Why do you suppose that is? Practice. I even remember when I was in school, we had to dive under our desks in case we were going to have a nuclear attack. I don't know how much that would have helped. But we did it. How about if you caught on fire, remember? Drop and roll, drop and roll. Not many of us have got caught on fire, but we know, drop and roll. Because we practice. Our children were given instructions in California when there was an earthquake. What to do? Some of you know what sirens mean when you're in the Midwest. Tornado is on its way. It's about getting ready, about knowing what to do. Even though maybe you've never done it, you know what to do just in case. It's about getting ready. This whole Advent thing is often a challenge. We get ready, we prepare, we wait, we anticipate. So, to get ready, it seems to me you have to do some things in order. Anticipate. Lay in whatever we might need. Be physically and mentally, spiritually ready. It isn't a fire or a test or a natural disaster or an earthquake or an injury or an accident. Well, how am I doing? You get it? It's about getting ready. The season of Advent is like all of those drills. The day is surely coming, the text says. Surely coming. Not maybe coming, but surely coming, the prophet said. Jesus said, be on guard. Be alert at all times, praying that you might have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. So what does that mean? Do you know it? Do you get it? Are you ready? Have you practiced enough? Is our life filled enough with tension that when the alarm goes off, you'll respond in the right way? Will you spring into action because you've been taught? Because you've prepared? Because you've practiced? Or do I panic? Do I panic and do something really weird? forgetting everything I know. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding for what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. What does Jesus mean? My guess is that over these past 2,000 years, folks have been waiting and watching and looking for signs and wondering if this really means that Jesus is preparing to return. You think Jesus is going to come again? Absolutely, I do. Do I know if it will be in my lifetime, your lifetime? I don't know. But Jesus says he will come again. He says, look at the fig tree. Look at the fig tree. Not many fig trees in Arizona. Look for the signs. The signs will be clear. The kingdom, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. As to that time, Jesus says in another place, but about that day and hour no one knows, only the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And so whether we're either talking about the end of the world or we're even talking about our own death or the end of our time on this earth, who knows? But do you know? I know. Jesus said, God knows. Only God knows. It's going to be a surprise. There will be hints, there will be signs, but in the end, a surprise. And Jesus says, be on guard. Be alert. Be ready. What do we do? How do we prepare for that? How do we get ready? Some, I'm told, believe there isn't anything we can do, so we might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, not worrying about today or tomorrow. Just live today to its fullest, and there isn't anything we can do about all of this anyway. Just take care of little old me, and that'll be enough. Some others become so paralyzed by it, so paralyzed by what they fear might be coming, they don't do anything. They don't venture into life. They're frightened at what might take place, paranoid about the possibilities. It seems to me that Jesus tells us there is a response. It's while we are on guard and alert, we're living in anticipation on their tiptoes. Living in anticipation, he says, stand up and raise your heads. That's not a shrinking wallflower, my friend, or some kind of selfish sloth only concerned about preserving or providing for self. If you and I know that today is the last day of our lives, the guess is we best be about what we're about every day. Living our lives full, living our lives complete, living in the presence and under the power of the one we call Jesus. We'll call his name Herb. And Herb regularly gathered with a group of friends for coffee on Saturday morning. And typically that conversation with his friends was about football and complaining about everything from, you know, that was even important. And they talked about cars and family and high taxes and politics and local gossip. And one day they got around to talking about human nature, and one guy said, we're all basically selfish, he said. Take care of old number one and the heck with everybody else. But something had happened to Herb, and he took exception. He said, you know, guys, I'm a jogger. I don't jog very far, but every afternoon, he said, when I get off work, I jog about a mile and a half down to the local convenience store that's down on the corner from my house, and I pick up my daily paper because the guy who owns the convenience store saves it for me. And then I jog back home. He said, well, one day, this past week, I went down to the store, and the man who usually is behind the counter, I've known him for years, and he was standing at the window with tears in his eyes. staring out of the bus stop across the street. He turned to me, he said, Herb, do you see that bench over there? And I looked across the street. Herb said, yeah, I saw it. We said, there's been an old woman who comes there every day around this time, and she sits there for about an hour, he said, knitting and waiting. Buses come, buses go, and she never boards one, and she never meets anyone who's getting off. She just knits, and she waits. He said, so one day this past week, he said, I took a cup of coffee over to her and sat with her a while. She told me about her son, who was in the Navy. The last time she saw him were 2 years ago when he left town on one of those same buses. And in the meantime, he served and continues to serve, and he's married, and he has a wife and a baby daughter. And the woman confessed to him he'd never met her daughter-in-law or have seen her grandchild. And she said, that's the only family I have. It helps me, she said, to come and wait, to pray for them, to knit little things for the baby. And I imagine them in their tiny apartment on the base. They're saving money, she said, to come home next year for Christmas. I can't wait to see them. Herb's friend behind the counter took a deep breath, and he said, I just finished looking across the street. And that young Navy man and his wife and daughter got off the bus. He said, you should have seen the look on her face when they fell into her arms. She laid her eyes on that little granddaughter for the first time. He said it was the nearest thing to pure joy that he'd ever seen in his life or would hope to see. I'll never forget the look on her face as long as I live. Herb looked at his friends around the coffee table, was quiet. And then he said to them, you know, I went back the next day, jogged down, got my paper. And he said, my friend was in his usual place behind the counter. And before his friend that owned the convenience store could say anything, or even hand him his paper, he said, I looked him in the eye and I said to him, excuse me. You sent her son the money to buy the bus tickets, didn't you? He looked at me with eyes full of love. He said, and a smile that was the nearest thing to complete joy, he said, I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, I sent him the money. And I'll never forget that look as long as I live. Herb looked at his friends and said, you know, we can live differently. We can live differently. See, my guess is Herb's friend had gone through the drill. He just didn't happen to do that. Because somewhere, sometime, someone led him to know that in these moments of generosity, he didn't have to think about it. He just responded. He just did it. Had he thought about it, he might have thought, well, that's silly. Why should I do that? It's a lot of money. Maybe the old woman is delusional and she doesn't even have a son. But something stirred in him. He responded because somewhere, somehow, someone led him through a drill. Not just once, but often. And when it was appropriate, he said yes. In these past few weeks, we have been bombarded by horrific scenes of violence played out in our world, on our streets, in homes, at businesses. Friday in Colorado Springs, days before in Chicago, Minneapolis, Paris, Turkey, Syria, Mali, over the skies of the Sinai Peninsula, when that Russian passenger plane fell from the sky. We've watched hundreds and thousands of refugees fleeing the war-torn regions of Syria and Iraq. I don't know about you, but it's been unsettling for me to watch and respond, engage my own responses, and evaluate the responses of others. I heard Jesus' words this week. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding for what is coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. No kidding. No kidding, Jesus. But Jesus also says about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor Son, but only the Father. And if Jesus would come and stand among us and would say what we ought to do in light of it all, what would he say? Stand up. Raise your heads. Because your redemption is drawing near. So how do we respond to what's going on in our world? Do we immerse ourselves in the frivolity of this shopping disaster? Or do we lay the blame and create enemies and live in fear, which alters our life? Have we done the drill for this? Do we know what to do? Are we ready? Read an interesting quote the other day. Let me share it with you. It's not, I think, violence that is the greatest threat to us today, but fear. Fear that drives us to forget who we are. To see people in need as the enemy, and to play securing our safety and comfort above meeting the basic needs of those in distress. Fear is more dangerous than violence because fear can lead us to forget our deepest identity and betray our most cherished values. So, my friends, on this first day of Advent, Jesus says to us, stand up. Raise your heads. Your redemption is drawing near. When we hear the story, how many times will we hear the words, do not fear? Jesus is our firmest identity. Jesus is our most cherished value. So I say, are you ready? Are you ready? Remember, there's nothing in this world. There's nothing that this world can throw us that can change that marvelous fact. Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.